Well, friends, please turn to Luke chapter 2, and particularly the end of that chapter. I don't know if you look much at the Christmas adverts at this time of the year for the different shops that are out there. In Britain, it's a real tradition that some of the big chains, I don't know if you'll know them, like Marks and Spencers and things like that, will always put a Christmas advert to catch people's attention. And some of them are very good. I had to check them out this year, since I'm not over there, but you can Google everything these days. And there's such a comparison between, I think it was M&S, Marks and Spencer's, which was showing a picture of Christmas. It was just so rotten with money and excess and partying and selfishness and all the rest of it, and it contrasted with some of the other ones, which are all about family and togetherness and much more wholesome kinds of themes. But in all of the ones that I watched, somebody was missing in all of these adverts. Can you guess who? And isn't it a funny thought that maybe Jesus has got something to do with Christmas? Apparently. And yet, it's very easy to miss Jesus at the festival, isn't it? It's so easy, in fact, that even his mom and his earthly dad, Joseph, missed Jesus at a festival as well, when they were up at Jerusalem, for it's called the Passover feast. And I want to look at that event with you so that we take to heart this call from God's heart right now to each one of us. He's saying to you and to me at this festival that we celebrate, don't miss Jesus from this festival. Amen? Otherwise, we really, really are going to be shortchanged this Christmas. When you look at this, the only event that we have recorded of Jesus' childhood, several things coalesce together that you don't want to miss. And they're all about his identity. He's in his father's house. And if he's got God as his father, what does that make him? Son of God. And yet familiarity with Jesus can easily mean that you miss him at the festival. And if that is what happens, then you'll fail to experience the wonder of some people who did meet Jesus at that festival. It's a wonder that you can experience this festival if you will meet Jesus Christ. Simple as that. Let's look at his identity. Here's the family. We're told every year they went up to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. It's when a lamb was slaughtered, his blood was marked on the door, reminding Israel of their greatest moment of deliverance. The story of Egypt, slavery, the Prince of Egypt, some of the young ones will have seen that movie. And how under the protection of that blood, a whole people would be safe from the touch of death. And an event like that is still celebrated 2,000 years on after this one because it was so powerful. And Jesus' family were there. And it tells us, though, that Jesus stayed longer at the festival. In fact, the way that the verse is written in the original language by Dr. Luke, he is really emphasizing those words, the boy Jesus stayed behind. He's putting it right at the end of the sentence, even though we don't quite see that in English, to make the point. This is important. Jesus stayed behind. Why did he stay behind? Because it was that festival, I think. Because there was something so powerful in that festival. As this young boy was growing into a man, hitting the age of 12, his bar mitzvah coming up, can you imagine what might have been going through his mind as he was beginning to make connections with his sense of who he was and what was happening around him with lambs being slaughtered and stories of deliverance? And he's wanting to really understand, because there's something that's growing inside his understanding. And he's making connections. And maybe it was after this festival. We're speculating, but it's very likely after this moment with this huge Q&A with the elders in the temple. He's beginning to realize that for him, the festival would never end. That he was the festival. That he would be that lamb. And that his death would set a world free from death and could bring any stranger into the Father's home. At some point, that all had to begin to click for Jesus. This may have been his 12th visit to the Passover, because his parents seemed to go every year. We don't know how many times he went, but it's possible it was 12. Each year, looking at the details of the feast, each year looking at the lambs that were slaughtered, each year hearing the story, each year all the scriptures that were saying a Messiah is coming who would be a Savior, who would deliver people from even death. And each year, as Luke tells us, Jesus grew in wisdom and understanding. That's important. Verse 52, you've got it there. I think it was also elsewhere in this same chapter. Twice he mentions it in chapter 2. Sometimes we have the impression that the baby Jesus was born with the full knowledge of everything that ever happened in the world. For some of the younger folks here, you've just gone through your exams and tests in school, and you've maybe went through one of life's great mysteries called calculus. I hope you survived the experience. I know I didn't. And you might be tempted to think that, well, Jesus, special, Jesus, God, oh, Jesus, baby, he knew calculus. That would be really handy for your exams, wouldn't it? I want to challenge you. I say, I don't think Jesus understood calculus. I don't think he had a clue about calculus. And lots of other things. That's why it says here, he grew in wisdom and understanding. Tells us later on, when he was asked as an adult, when are you coming back? And he says, I don't know. There were things that he did not know. Because though Jesus is declared to be God in the flesh, he is also equally declared to be human being, fully human. He had a human mind. He's one person. There's just one personality in that man. But two sides, two natures. God, divine, very human, born as a baby. And it was so important for our salvation that those two were there in the one person, and that he was, nonetheless, fully both. Not 50-50. He's 100% God, but also 100% human. Which meant he had to be like you and me, because he was going to save you and me as a human being. And that means that he really did grow in his knowledge, his wisdom, his understanding. You see it at the end, even in growing in wisdom and stature and favor. All of these things were part and parcel of his humanity. There were things he had to learn. And as he was sitting with these elders in the temple, he had so many questions that, as we'll see, it amazed them. And for you and for me today, it's so easy to wonder, well, what is my life going to be? But here's a young boy, he's only 12 years old. What am I going to do with my life? Why am I here? What is my purpose? I feel within me a seed of greatness. How is it going to work out? Have you ever felt like that? You ever wondered, is my life to be marked with greatness? I believe every life that's touched by God's light can do great things. Even if you're to live in the same village and live the simplest of life, there's still something incredibly great about that because it's connected to an eternity of wonder. And to be a human being and to be remade in the image and likeness of God is greatness. And too few realize that. But with that sense of greatness and wanting to be something and wondering what your life is and how to make sense out of it all, that comes to all of us, but particularly when we're younger. And if you're going through those questions and you're trying to make sense out of your life, I want you to look at this Jesus. Because there's times when you're going through your life, you're saying, nobody gets me, nobody understands me. My parents don't get me. My friends don't maybe understand me. My teachers definitely don't get me. Whoever it is, and you just might feel that you're hardly able to understand life and why you're here, and nobody seems to understand you, and you've got questions. Well, the same person who's got the ultimate answers to those questions is the same person who also understands your need to ask those questions. Because he did it himself. This is a very human Jesus that you are being asked to put your trust and faith in today. And if you're thinking, what is my life marked out for? Will I do great things with my life? You could not walk with anybody better who alone has the authority and the power to mark out every step of your life to do the things that God would have you do. And that's the Jesus that we have revealed here before us today. And when you follow him, who knows what adventure he'll take you on? He may not give you all the answers today or tomorrow, but he does have all those answers. And he has a plan and a purpose. He knows how important that is. He felt it when he was 12 years old. I need to know. I need to understand. And so he dug for those answers, the minds of those that might know those answers. And you should do the same. When you're young, take your answers to the church. Take your questions, rather, to the church so that you might find answers. Take your questions to God. Take your questions about suffering, pain, confusion about who and what you are. Take it all to him because he understands. He knows how confusing life can be for us in this world. But that's part of the beauty of why we remember the incarnation, God incarnate in flesh. A very human 12-year-old boy was asking questions on that day. Do you get all the answers straight away? How many times had he been up to the Passover before this? We don't know, but he was getting some answers at least. But you do have to be patient when you are with Jesus. But he will give you those answers in his time, in his way. But the important thing that God is saying to you this morning is don't miss out and walking through your life with this Jesus. It's so easy to be involved with the festival and to miss the Jesus of the festival. So don't do that this year. And one of the reasons that you may do it is because of sheer familiarity. This is not the first Christmas for anybody here today, is it? We've gone through it all before so many times. And like Mary and Joseph, they had been many times. The tense in the Greek language is that they were repetitively, regularly going up to this festival every year to the Passover. And so they're coming, but they miss Jesus on the way back, as I said during the reading, because whole communities tended to go on this long journey together. And as you often have at this time of the year when there's a party, the men gather together, the women gather together, chat in different circles. But the chatting was on a long journey. They're a day out of Jerusalem. It's nighttime after a day's travel. And they suddenly realize, he's not with you. He's not with me. He's not with you. I thought he was with you. And somebody's getting blamed by the other one. That happens, doesn't it? And so they then have to wait probably that night and then rush back, a whole day's journey back to Jerusalem, then probably another whole day running around Jerusalem. It's not very big. And eventually towards the end of that day, they find Jesus in the temple. You see, in some ways it was so shocking to them all that was happening here, because all they saw when they looked at Jesus was a boy. He's a 12-year-old kid. He was a good kid. No getting away from that. But that's all they saw. A cousin, a nephew, a grandchild. That's all the family saw. A son. And so their very familiarity with Jesus meant that they missed where he would actually be. You can't be lost if you're already home. And that's what he said to them. I'm in my dad's house. Didn't you understand? But they couldn't, because they were so familiar with what they were seeing, with this Jesus that they'd looked after for 12 years, that they had forgotten something, hadn't they? That's why we read the beginning of Luke's gospel, chapter 2, at the beginning as well as the end, because what happened then, 12 years earlier? Mary, do you not remember the night with the angels, the shepherds, the visions, the angels appearing to you, telling you to become pregnant without ever having slept with Joseph? All of these things, and his birth, and everything that was said about him. Mary, don't you remember these things? That first Christmas. You see, if she had remembered those things, 12 years of familiarity hadn't maybe dulled the memory, she could have gone straight to the house where Jesus was, his father's house. But she'd forgotten maybe that this Jesus had a special connection with God. See, familiarity will do that for you, especially familiarity with Jesus. We've had him kicking around our culture for 2,000 years. This country was founded by people who had a profound faith in Jesus. You've been brought up in a church and in a family that is all about Jesus. But here's the danger. This festival, tomorrow, you could celebrate the whole festival, and your very familiarity with Jesus means that you totally miss the point. So what's that all about? Tomorrow, you could get some gifts. If you live for 100 years and you put a big pile up as high as that Christmas tree or higher of all the gifts you'd ever receive in your life for 100 years, how high might it be? And yet take them all and compare it to this one gift of what Jesus Christ can give to you. And there's no comparison. And yet, your very familiarity with Jesus right now might mean that you will miss that right now, or miss that tomorrow. And maybe your familiarity as a follower of Jesus means that tomorrow won't be about him. It'll be about the turkey. It'll be about the presents. It'll be about the Xbox and everything else that you're going to be doing. And you're going to miss the whole point of the day because you're obsessed with something rather than someone. And yet all that mountain of gifts is nothing compared to what God can do in your heart and soul right now and forever. That's the beauty and the power of Christmas. Is your love growing, or has it grown cold for Christ? Then it's familiarity, maybe sin, that has led to that. Then let this festival be different. Let it be a festival when you deeply encounter in a fresh way who Christ is. And that will outweigh all the gifts of all the years that you'll ever live in this earth. And so Mary and Joseph had to have a bit of a wake-up call through this experience. It tells us that Mary kept this in her heart. She didn't understand it at the time, but she dwelt on it. It must have been a bit of a crisis. I mean, have you ever lost a child in Walmart, even for a moment? The panic. I bet it's happened to a few of the dads here. You've been given the special task of looking after the little one, and you just get sidetracked and have disappeared. That never happens in a play park, does it? And then the panic rises up. Where would you have looked in Jerusalem on that day? Would you run to the play park? To a friend's home? To somewhere? Who would have gone to the temple to look for a 12-year-old kid? It took the whole day for them to realize, maybe he could be at the temple. Why would he be at the temple? I don't know, but he's Jesus. He's different. Okay, let's go to the temple. So they go to the temple. He says, yeah, I'm already home, he says. Why were you looking anywhere else? It was a crisis. It was a shock. Maybe it was like a bath of cold water for them, and they just had to waken up. And as they did, what did they see? Eventually, they would have begun to see who this Christ was with fresh eyes. Maybe in 2024, a crisis might come your way in life. And you might wonder, you might even get angry with God for the crisis. But look, there's lots of ways crisis can be blessed to us. But there might be one way. Maybe it'll be God's way of giving you a wake-up call, so that you begin to see it a fresh way, or maybe for the first time, the splendor and the wonder of who Jesus Christ is and what he is willing to do in your life today. So don't miss Jesus at the festival. Don't. Instead, the festival should be filled with wonder because you're beginning to glimpse who you've got in front of you when you see and know this Jesus. The final part of the story takes you to these men who are the religious authorities of the day, really clever guys, really experienced, probably a lot of older guys. I'd love to speculate at this point that maybe there were some younger guys like Jesus, his own age, maybe guys a little bit older, who maybe 20-odd years later were still kicking around. Maybe you could have had a Caiaphas there or a Saul of Tarsus there. Who knows? It's wonderful to speculate that they may have even been there, listening with the elders. And then this strange young boy from Nazareth who had the most amazing questions. In fact, his questions were so brilliant and the connections he was making were so amazing that the elders, by the end of the discussion, they turned it around and they were asking him questions. That is shocking. And they were amazed. Everybody was amazed, it tells us, of this Jesus. There was wonder caused as they were beginning to glimpse this is more than a normal kid. Utter amazement. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. So there's a real Q&A going on. Jesus had questions. Jesus is making connections. Jesus is really, that's the verge of manhood in the Jewish world of 12, beginning to think, what is it that my Father in heaven has asked me to do? I'm sure God gradually, as he matured, gave Jesus those answers and understanding of just exactly what was involved. And these old elders, can you imagine them? If you had a kid like this, a real genius, it would seem, a prodigy, you'd be going, who is he? Where did you come from, son? Nazareth. Oh, you're born in Nazareth. Oh, no, you weren't born in Nazareth. You're born in Bethlehem. Oh, but you live in Nazareth. Oh, got you there. Do I know your parents? I'm sure I know your great aunt. That's how we speak, isn't it? In a small culture like that, even more so, more intense. And yet, for the really clever ones, you've got, hang on, Bethlehem? Oh, I heard of Bethlehem, Nazareth. Connection between Nazareth, Bethlehem. These were scholars of their book, the Old Testament. No, that book talked about Nazareth. It talked about Bethlehem. It talked about the Messiah in connection with these places. Could you imagine one of these old teachers going home that night, beginning to think, who on earth was that that I was speaking to for the whole day? How did he know that? How could he ask these things? He came from Nazareth, came from Bethlehem, and he began to do the processing and the thinking and the connections. And there was wonder and amazement. Let me share a song that was written by Michael Card. And he picked up this very thought of one of the old teachers in the temple that day who'd met the Jesus child. And this is how the song goes from the perspective of the old rabbi. He says, I am an old rabbi. Where's the child who was here only yesterday? How my heart started to beat as I sat at his feet for the things he'd say. The questions I asked him had weighed on my mind in eternity. But the self-righteous show I had made my disguise, it started to slip as I looked in his eyes. So rather than stay for my pride's sake, I walked away. Then the chorus. Come, listen a while to the voice of a child. Stand in awe of the wisdom of God. Hear what he has to say, for the time is today. You can come or just walk away. And then the old rabbi meditates again in the song and says, then late in the night I woke to a voice deep inside of me. It was gentle and mild like the voice of a child my mind's eye could see. It spoke of the promises made to my people through Abraham. And at once all the prophecy made sense to me. I'd studied them so long. Why couldn't I see? In one holy moment I knew the Messiah was he. Beautiful speculation. Who knows if that happened for one of them? Well, I'll tell you this. I know it can happen for one of you right now. You can see who this Jesus is so much more easily than it was for the people then. And begin to discover who he really is. His identity as the Son of God, and what that means for you, that you can become a child of God, as Christ became the Passover for God's people and sacrificed himself so that the angel of death will pass over you, and that you will be freed from the shadow of death, and that you will live in the Father's house for an eternity. and you're excited about the gifts you're getting tomorrow, please don't miss Jesus at the festival. Amen? See who he is. Let's pray. Oh, our Lord, we want to fall down, worship, adoration, joy unspeakable, peace flowing like a river, and love that's like a volcano burning in our hearts. Because of who you are, all that you have done, and all that you are doing, and all that you will do, that you are the greatest gift of all. There is nothing that can compare. And to think you're giving that gift as a gift, free. Freely we may receive you and the life that is in you, and the fatherhood of God that comes through you. Lord Jesus, we pray that you would save us today from missing you at this festival. We pray that every single one of us would close in with you right now in faith, in repentance, turning away from our blindness, our overfamiliarity, our ignorance, running after the outward things, rather than being consumed with the utter glory of who you are. If we can't see that now, Lord Jesus, would you open our eyes right now that we might see who you are and see what we are? We are sinners. We need you. But yet we can be forgiven. Be our Passover lamb. And bring us into the Father's house, that your Father will become our Father forever and ever and evermore. Amen. Let it be so, Lord. Amen.